Remember, the beginning of November was the second Sunday. We talked about Thanksgiving and how Thanksgiving seems to get overshadowed by Christmas, and so we need to start preparing ourselves early. Well, what does Christmas get overshadowed with? Walmart? What doesn't Christmas get overshadowed with, is a better question. And so I was thinking about this for myself, but I want to ask you too. Look at your Christmas last year, and as Christians, if you were to take Jesus Christ out of your home, how would Christmas change for you this year? Would there be much of a change? Because our focus for Christmas, doesn't our focus seem to get so caught up in lists and gifts and food and running around and family? And I guess, you know, it really does depend on you and your family, but I think it's so easy to get caught up in these things. And I think about Christmas Day, and I think about taking Christ out of the day. What do we have left? Maybe just not reading a Christmas story, or what is it? What's really our focus on Christmas Day? So I think it's very important that we start extra early. We should have started in October, but I didn't want to overshadow Thanksgiving, so it's kind of a catch-22, I guess. It really seems to me that in the United States, Christmas seems to be about 90% consumer and about 10% about Christ. If you look at the commercials on TV, and I know this depends on what TV you watch, but it seems that like about 9 out of 10 commercials will be about buying things, sales, getting up early or staying up late, go to Jordan Creek and shopping for your stuff. Or, you know, I've heard some stories of people doing that. And what are the commercials that have to do with Jesus Christ? The more I think about it, it's really hard to remember the commercials that I see on TV that actually have to do with Jesus. So, as I was studying this week, I started in Luke, and I want to look at the very beginning of the story where God really starts to work about bringing us Christ, and it starts here in Luke. And I want to read, we're going to go verses 1 through 25. This is Luke writing. It says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." So right away, as we read Luke, we know that Luke was a doctor, a physician. And very, very well-read, very educated, very smart, but also very dedicated to writing the accurate account. And this is the most detailed account of the birth of Christ that we will find in the Gospels. Verse 5, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous and make ready a people prepared for the Lord.' Zechariah asked the angel, 'How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years.' The angel answered, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion, after this, she became pregnant. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. What an interesting start to the gospel for the account of Jesus Christ. He starts with John. And Luke sets the time, says it was in the days of Herod. What we need to know about Herod is that he was a very cruel leader. Don't you remember the wise men came to him, or he beckoned the wise men, and they told him that they were going to see the newborn king. And he says, let me know where they are, because I want to come worship him too. And it turns out that he really wanted to kill him. And when the wise men didn't go back to Herod, he ordered all of the two-year-old boys and younger killed around the Bethlehem area where Christ had been born. A very cruel leader, and also shows that he really fears the Jews. And he fears their God, because he knows that this king would be greater than him. I love it that Luke begins with the account of Zechariah and Elizabeth. I look at these two, this couple, Zach and Eliza, parents of the one who prepares the way. We hear so much about John the Baptist preparing the way, and here it talks about when Gabriel speaks to Zechariah, he tells him that he is going to prepare the way. And so, so often we begin the Christmas story with the conception of Jesus in the Virgin Mary, but here's another conception by God who is very important and very much a part of God's plan in bringing us a Messiah, in bringing us the ministry of Christ. So I want to get to know the parents of John the Baptist. In choosing the parents, think about this. When God is choosing the parents of the child who is going to support Jesus in his ministry, do you think God's going to be picky? I think so. He's going to be very choosy. Zechariah and Elizabeth are very good candidates for a few reasons. The first one is that in verse 6 it says that they were upright. Some Bibles it says that they were righteous in the eyes of God. This is a time where there was a lot of spiritual decline in Israel. They're having a hard time. They're under very hard rule. A lot of people are falling apart from God, and yet these two were faithful to God. So that makes them, a very good candidate. Second is that Zacharias is a Jewish priest. That's great. Twice a year, he travels to the temple in Jerusalem and performs his priestly duties, which is maintenance and upkeep, taking care of the temple, and like he mentioned, going in and burning incense and praying. So he works to preserve the temple. Every day that he is there, lots are cast to see who gets to go in and burn incense. So not anybody just gets to go in, but they cast lots, and then you go in and you pray. Most likely praying for deliverance for this Messiah that is supposed to be coming. And remember that in the temple, there's still a curtain in the Holy of Holies, and so you can't really just go right into the presence of God. They still have that division. So it's very much have to be chosen by God to go in there, and that's why they cast the lots. The third is that they are old and childless. See, they still remain faithful for all these years to God, because what does it mean to be old and childless in Bible times? It means that it's supposed to be a sign of divine displeasure. That God is unhappy with you and he's showing it to you because you're not having kids. And if you don't change your life around, you're never going to have kids. So obviously they never changed their lives around. That's what people may be thinking. But they know better and they know God loves them. And so even though that's really hard, even though people think that God is very displeased with them, they have remained faithful to him all these years. And also, because they're old and childless, this also gives God another opportunity to show his awesome power. And it's also proof of his divine intervention with conception of this baby. It just didn't happen that somebody got pregnant. No, he turned out to be John the Baptist. No. they were old. They shouldn't have been having a baby. This also goes to show that God was in control here. And the fourth thing was that Zacharias and Elizabeth are related to Mary, the soon-to-be unwed virgin mother of Jesus. That's pretty heavy to be an unwed pregnant woman in those times. Very bad. So do you think that Mary could use some support during this time? Do you think there's very many people that are going to believe her? So who do you think would be better to support her than her relative, who also 6 months earlier was conceived because of God's divine plan? Who better to support Jesus in this way? So God is already setting it up for them to support Christ because they're related. What a wonderful thing. I thought that was really cool. Now we're starting to see and understand that God is laying a very planned and intricate foundation for his son. So all of a sudden we see the workings of a very loving father, very quietly, but very purposely preparing the way. Now when Zechariah goes to Jerusalem, he meets there the rest of his priestly order of Abijah. Now there's like 20,000 priests. And you can look back in Chronicles, and David assigns them all to an order. And so there's 1,000 priests just in his order that go twice a year to Jerusalem. They have to take turns because there's so many Jewish priests. And so there's 1,000 other priests there. And somehow that week, Zechariah gets the extraordinary opportunity to go before the Lord and burn incense and pray while everyone else is waiting outside for him. We need to understand it wasn't by chance that the lot fell on him. It wasn't like there were 10 priests there and you get a 1 out of 10 chance. No, there were 1,000 priests there waiting. And to go in and burn incense before the Lord, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, if it happens once in your life, you're lucky. You're not going to be there 1,000 times in your life. So God puts the lot on Zechariah, and he gets to go in and burn incense before the Lord. I just think that's really neat that he was supposed to be in the temple at that time because God chose him to be. And when he's in there, he meets Gabriel and he learns of God's plan for him and his son. No wine, no fermented or strong drink, and that John will be filled with the Holy Spirit even in the womb to prepare the way for the Lord. Zacharias' response, he doubts, doesn't he? What would you say? Seriously, who's... All right. Who's playing this joke? Where'd you come from? Who put you up to this? Somebody put you up to this. And he doubts. And so he becomes unable to speak. And, you know, God probably knows that this is going to help him support his wife better this way if he can't talk, you know, as she goes through this time. I'm just joking. Thank you, Raul. Being unable to speak also showed the people that he must have seen a vision from God. Because he goes out and he's doing all these signs and he can't talk. And he's been in there a long time. Usually you're not in there that long. You just burn some incense. You pray for the deliverance of the people. I'm sure that he also might have said a prayer for he and his wife for their strong desire to have a child. Gabriel says, I have heard your prayer. And so it's been a long time and everybody else is outside waiting for him to come back out. And he comes back out and he's changed. He can't talk anymore. And he's making all these signs and people, what's going on? So that's another way to help show the Lord that the Lord was there, to help prove that the Lord was there. It's very hard for a man to pretend to not be able to talk. Do you know that? So after this, he goes home after his week is done and he rejoices with his wife. His wife becomes pregnant. Now this is just the beginning of the Christmas story. And this is a love story that started all the way back when Adam and Eve fell in the garden. We see God's love. And this starts the beginning of the end of that love story. How God is going to conquer. How God is going to prepare the way, make the way for us to come to him. It would seem that Christ did have a very humble and simple entrance into the world. Which in the ways of a king, he did. He came as a baby in a manger. But if we really start to learn more, if we really get in there, we really start to see that what looks like a very simple and humble entrance into the world was actually a very intricate and divine plan before he even came, as God prepares the way. And we'll learn more about this next Sunday. We'll dig in more because I really want us to know this Christmas story as it truly is. Not as the world teaches it. Not as the commercials teach us that yeah, it's great, we give gifts because Christ was giving gifts, but no, we give gifts because they want us to spend money, and so that's why they promote us giving gifts and that sort of thing. But the Christmas story is so divine, and there are so many details that if we understand them, it can take on a whole new meaning. Maybe it can become that much more exciting to celebrate this holiday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as you reveal to us your plan that you had from the beginning for Christ, as you prepared the way through John the Baptist, and what a neat story of all of those wonderful things that you put in Zechariah and Elizabeth. Yes. As you prepared the way, Father God, what a wonderful thing. And I pray that you would help us prepare the way in our hearts this season for your Son as he comes. As we celebrate that birth, the beginning of the end of the love story that you have worked so hard to prepare the way for us to come back to you. Prepare our hearts, Father God, to truly celebrate the birth of your Son, our Messiah. Amen.